You are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is a free gift. We do not earn it. We do not deserve it. Except for the grace of God, we should not have it. But God loves us, and God gave us eternal life. He gave us a relationship with Him. But once we become Christians, if we understand the salvation, if we understand God's grace and God's mercy and God's goodness to us, we want to live for Him. We want to do whatever it is He wants us to do. And so for several weeks, we're talking about 8 keys to a successful Christian life, to living the way God wants us to live, to living in a way that will bring Him glory and honor. And we try to get you to understand these 8 different keys, not that they're the only keys, but these 8 different keys. And we shared with you last 2 weeks, all 8 of them, hoping you will remember some of them. I find myself sometimes when I'm trying to remember something, I remember 7 or 8. But if I get 7 or 8, I'm doing all right. The first three are kind of the foundational ones. That's Bible, prayer, church attendance. Bible, prayer, church attendance. Bible, prayer, church attendance. Give it to me.
Bible, prayer, church attendance.
Do it again.
Bible, prayer, church.
So every Christian should spend some time in the Bible. I try to share with you, don't get hung up on, am I doing as much as somebody else is doing? Am I reading as much as somebody else is reading? Am I memorizing as many verses as somebody else is memorizing? Do I know as much scripture as somebody else knows? Don't get hung up on that. Because of your personality and because of your abilities that God gives you, that certain people will learn more and can learn more than the rest of us. Some of us are not as smart as the rest of you, but that's okay. I don't need to be as smart as you are. I'm as smart as God wants me to be. Got tangled up on even saying that. Just so I'm as smart as God wants me to be. Just so I am doing what God wants me to do. So I need to spend some time with Scripture all the time. I need to, on a regular basis, I need to study Scripture. And I hadn't talked about it much in this series, but on the front of that little pamphlet I gave you, we talk about read, write, and reflect. Read, write, and reflect. Great, great way to just study the Bible. Read the verses and write something down. Just write something down. Don't make any difference what you write down. Write something down from the verse. If you can't think of anything to write from the verse, just write the verse down. Because writing helps you to get a grasp of it. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they cross over the lips or through the fingertips. So write it down. Write something down. When you're studying Scripture, write something down. If you use the computer all the time, it's okay to type it in the computer. And it's a good idea to type your notes on your Bible study, keep them, but don't just write them down. Go back and review them and reflect on them. Think about them. What does this mean? What does this mean to me? How can I use this scripture? And sometimes I want to tell you, I taught Sunday school lesson this morning and on a very difficult passage of scripture for me. I'm not sure why it was difficult, but I had a hard time understanding it. Shouldn't have told my class that I didn't understand it, but I told them I don't understand this, but I'm going to teach it anyway. So we went through the passage, and it was very difficult for me, but we got the main point. I think we got the main point, although we didn't understand some of the parts of it. So when you're studying Scripture, if you run across a passage that you don't understand, write down the questions you have about it. What does this mean? What does this mean? Then sometimes you write down, how can I use this? Sometimes you write down, how can somebody else use this? I know somebody who needs this verse. And so I write down, so-and-so could really use this verse. So you read, you write, review, and reflect. Read, write, review, and reflect. What's the 3 points, the first 3? Bible, prayer, church attendance. You need to spend time in prayer on a regular basis. Talk to God. Just talk to Him. Prayer is not a complicated thing. We're just talking to God. Just share with God. Praise God. Tell God how great He is. Thank God for all that He's done for you. Confess your sins to God. Tell God what you want. Now, you always need to pray God's will be done and not yours, but you still, He offers you. Just tell Him what you want. And if you have a right relationship with God, He will give you the desires of your heart. If you have a right relationship with God, He will give you the desires of your heart. So tell Him what you want. And sometimes what we want is not good for us, and so we want God not to give it to us. And years later, we can see that. We asked for the wrong thing, you know. But still pray and tell God and share with God your spiritual struggles. Tell God, God, I'm just having a hard time with this particular area. I'm having a difficult time doing this. Oh, God, I feel myself getting lukewarm. I'm just kind of coasting in my spiritual life. I'm not on fire like I used to be. Help me to reignite that enthusiasm for you and for your work. And then church attendance. You need to attend church on a regular basis. And what happens to us is it seems like, okay, I can just miss once in a while. It'll be okay. You know, I got something else I got to do, or I'm sleepy, or I don't feel good. I just missed today. But what happens is if we miss one time, what happens the next time? It's much easier to miss the next time. And we miss two times, it's much easier to miss the next time. And I realize that sometimes we come to church and the preacher doesn't do a good job, and you say, man, this was almost a waste of time. But I don't think it's ever a waste of time when you worship God. I don't think it's ever a waste of time when you worship God. The first three are? Okay. The next five are love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, and spiritual warfare. Love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, spiritual warfare. Last week we talked about love, and the fact is we need to love God and love our neighbors ourselves. The fact is the church should be a loving place. The church should be a place that we love each other. That means we love each other in spite of our differences, in spite of the fact that none of us are perfect. All of us have faults. So it is unconditional love. We love others because they belong to Christ. Everywhere God has a son, I have a brother. Everywhere God has a daughter, I have a sister. And I don't get to choose my brothers and sisters. Right? I don't get to choose them. Somebody else chose them. And if they are children of God, they are related to me. And I need to love them and care about them in spite of their faults. And all of us have got faults. All of us have got faults. I know you have a tendency to think everybody's got a fault but you. But no, all of us got faults. Every one of us. And the next one is commitment. Commitment. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it. One of the great paradoxes of being a Christian is that I find life by losing my life. The more I give it to God, the more I turn control over to Him, the more I have real life. I don't know of any of us that have done that 100%. But I do know that the more I give to Him, the more I give control of my life to Him, the more life I have. Now that seems paradoxical, that seems backwards, that seems opposite, that seems impossible. That if I give Him control, then I'm more happy or happier than I would be if I was in control. I mean, it just seems like if I did exactly what I wanted to do, I would be happier. But just think about it. Look around. Who are some of the most miserable people you know? Selfish people. Selfish people who are always looking out for number one, who are always concerned about themselves and being happy and being joyous and doing what they want to do. They're most miserable people you know. And the way I gain happiness is not by seeking after happiness for me. The way I gain happiness is just saying, I'm going to give control to Jesus. Whatever he wants, I'm going to deny myself and put him in control. I'm going to let him be in charge of my life. And the more I'm able to do that, the more I realize what real joy is. I gain life by giving up life. I gain joy by saying, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to serve you. I want to deny myself and take up my cross and follow me. Almost every time I read the passage, take up my cross, I think about the parents. Years ago, now we don't admit that we switch our kids, but because some people misuse corporal punishment. Is that the right word, corporal punishment? Because some people misuse corporal punishment, we want to outlaw it and make it against the law. And it is true that some parents mistreat their kids and punish them too much. That's true. But it's also true to punish them none is almost as bad. Because we have a sin nature and because we are easily influenced by the wrong people, somebody needs to discipline us. And so we need that discipline. And we need to deny ourselves and say to Jesus, I'm going to let you control my life. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Yeah. When I was in Bible college, it amazed me the people who wanted to be missionaries. And I thought, but man, these people who are giving up their homes and leaving the country, going to some foreign country, place that they don't know and they ain't never seen, all that kind of stuff. And just be willing to do that was amazing to me. Who would be willing to do that? And yet, some of those people were the happiest people I knew because they'd given Jesus control. Whatever he wants. Whatever he wants, that's what I want to do. Wherever he wants me to go, that's where I want to go. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must, not he should, but he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. The great paradox of Christianity is that I gain life by losing it. I get joy and happiness by giving Jesus control. And from a human standpoint, it doesn't seem like it's possible if I give somebody else control of my life that I would be happier. It seems like if I did what I wanted to do myself, I'd be happier. But he knows what's best for me, and he can control me, and I'm much happier when I let him control my life. So I must make a commitment to him that he's in the control. My way of saying it, I said it over and over and over. Many of you have heard me say it. The way I say it is you get out of the driver's seat, you go around, get in on the passenger side, and let Jesus drive your life. Let Jesus drive your life. Let him tell us what to do. Let him control us. Put him on the throne of your heart. Put him in charge. Whatever he wants to do, that's what we'll do. Whatever he wants to do. Because that's how I gain real life, is when I lose my life for him. And all you got to do is ask people who've done that, to whatever degree they've done that, they've realized true happiness. Bible, prayer, church attendance, love, commitment. The next one is giftedness. I believe every Christian is gifted. You know, we have school programs sometimes for the gifted kids, don't they? Sometimes, some places. I think all kids are gifted. I think all Christians are gifted. Every Christian, not just some Christians, all Christians. All Christians are gifted. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, there are two facts in that. That's a long passage, just two verses, but it's a long passage. There are two facts there. Every Christian has a gift. Every Christian has a gift, as each one has received a special gift. Every Christian has a gift. We joke about the fact I was behind the door when they handed out gifts. You know, he missed me. But that's not true. Every Christian is gifted. Every Christian is gifted. No exceptions. And you are responsible for your gift. You are responsible for your gift. Nobody else can use the gift God gave you. God gave it to you, and God wants you to use it. You are responsible for your gift. You're responsible. And sometimes we fall into the trap, I want to be like somebody else. The most difficult thing there is in life to do is to be somebody else. Just be you. Just be you. God gifted you. He made you the way He wanted to use you. So just be you. So your job is to find out what God gave me. How did God gift me? And then use that gift. Because I'm responsible for what God gave me. I don't think I'm responsible to sing a great song. I don't think I'm responsible to do that. Because God didn't give me that gift. I've been around music all my life. My mother played the piano and the guitar. We always said she played by ear, but she didn't really play by ear. She played with her hand. But anyway, she didn't know music. she didn't know music. And if you were an expert musician, you didn't think her playing was that great. But for those of us who didn't know anything about it, it sounded like the real thing. I mean, it sounded good. I knew what she was playing. But now you asked her to play something that she'd never heard. She couldn't look at the music and play it. She had to hear it over and over and over and over. But then she could play it and it sounded just like what she heard. And she was very good at that. My daughter is a professional musician. My son-in-law is a professional musician. My wife can sing and play the piano. I'm around music all the time. I'm no good at it. You know, I took one music lesson. One. The first thing they wanted me to do, the lady walked in, I went into the class, and the first thing she did was hit middle C on the piano. And she said, match that with your voice. Not only could I not match it, I couldn't tell whether I was matching it or not. I mean, I had no clue. Was I doing it or not doing it? I didn't know anything about that. I'm not gifted in music. So should I go hide in the closet and say, well, I'm not musical, so therefore I don't need to do anything. No, every Christian is gifted. Every Christian is gifted. So I need to find out what kind of gifts I have and use those gifts. I don't need to be the best you there is. I need to be the best me there is. And you say, well, Lee, you think your gift is teaching, but I know somebody can teach better than you. That's okay. Don't make any difference. As long as I'm doing the best I can do, if they can teach better than me, that's all right. God didn't expect me to be them. God didn't expect me to be Billy Graham. He expected Billy Graham to be Billy Graham. He expected Lee Delbridge to be Lee Delbridge. I need to use the gifts that He gave me. And you need to use the gifts that He gave you. Because every Christian is gifted. Every Christian is gifted. How many? Every Christian is gifted. No exception. Every Christian. So every Christian has a gift, and you are responsible for your gift. You're responsible for your gift. And then there are two kinds of gifts. There's speaking gifts and serving gifts. And believe it or not, I'm getting that from the text. It's speaking gifts and serving gifts. Whoever speaks, whoever serves. Two big types. Speaking gifts usually means I'm up front some kind of way, and therefore I get more attention. Serving gifts many times are behind the scene. Other people don't even know you're doing it. Doesn't make any difference. I'm not doing it for other people, right? I'm doing it for God. So I just need to, if I've got a serving gift, then I need to serve. But I need to find out what my gift is. I need to find out where God wants me to work. What is it He wants me to do? And since every Christian has a gift, I can't use the excuse, I don't have one. I know I got one. I just got to discover it. And then I got to use it. I got to use it. So there are two kinds of gifts, speaking gift and serving gifts. And there are two reasons for gifts. There are two reasons for gifts. One is found in verse 10, and one is found in verse 11. Verse 10 says, as each one has received a special gift, use it doing what? Serving one another. God gave me my gift for you. God gave me my gift for you, and He gave you your gift for me. Does that make sense? I'm not to use my gift to glorify me. I'm to use my gift to serve you. And if somehow or another I think I'm gifted, so I can just, all I do is think about how great I am because I'm a gifted person. Yeah, every person is a gifted person. Every person's a gifted person. I need to use my gift to serve you. I need to find ways to do that. Let's pretend, and we do have to, you have to have a big pretender to pretend this, but let's pretend that I am good at music. Let's pretend that I can sing. You know, somebody told me one time I had a beautiful tenor voice. My only problem was I was out of tune and out of time. But the voice was beautiful, they said, if I could just find the tune right and the time right. But let's imagine, in your imagination you can go anywhere. So let's imagine that I was a great singer and I had just tremendous ability in music. And I sang in church and hundreds of people heard me sing. If I did it to glorify me, I misused the gift. If I did it to glorify me, I misused the gift. I need to use it to serve others. And, but the last part of verse 11, to glorify God. You see, in a sense, I'm kind of like the moon. I'm not like the sun, I'm like the moon. What's the difference in the moon and the sun? All the moon does is reflects the light. That's all. And what God shines on me needs to reflect to you and to Him. Whatever that is, I need to glorify Him and serve you. So that's the way I can test my gifts. Am I using my gifts properly if He receives the glory and you receive the service? If I use my gifts in such a way that everybody talks about how great I am, you know, I think I shared with you, I don't remember, I talked so much, I don't know when I shared what, but I think I shared with you that my mama used to embarrass me because she would be so proud of me that I was a preacher, and she would introduce me to people that she didn't even know. I mean, you know, I'd go with her anyway, and she said, "This is my preacher boy, Lee. What's your name?" Yeah, and so she wanted to, and so she was very proud of me. That used to embarrass me. But sometimes I need somebody to be proud of me. Sometimes I need somebody to encourage me. And we ought to encourage each other that God gifted you, that you have a special gift that God has given to you, and you can use it to serve people and to glorify God. That's what God gave it to you for. And you want to be what God wants you to be. One of the key issues is that you serve, that you use your giftedness to serve people and to glorify God. Not to serve yourself and to glorify yourself, but to serve others and to glorify God. That's what you need to do with your giftedness. What was the first three? Bible, prayer, church attendance. Love, commitment, giftedness, evangelism, spiritual warfare. Okay. Today we've talked about commitment and giftedness. You ought to commit your giftedness to God. Make a commitment. I'm going to give it to Him. Whatever He made me to be, whatever He made me to be, that's what I want to be. That's everything I want to be. Last night I made the mistake of start watching a movie at 9 o'clock. That's not good on Saturday night. But anyway, I made that mistake. And the movie was a fictional story, based on the life of Ron Clark. You know who Ron Clark is? Nobody knows who Ron Clark is. Somebody knows who Ron Clark is. Okay? And the story based on his time in New York City, in which he went. He's a school teacher, by the way. He has a school in Atlanta now. He owns a school some kind of way. But anyway, he's a school teacher that went to New York City and talked the school authorities into allowing him to teach the lowest grade class, the worst class, and the worst group in the whole school. And he took that class, and by the end of the year, when they took the evaluation test or whatever, they did better than anybody else, including the honors class. And the movie was about that story. He wrote a book, 55 Essentials. It's a good book. He used his talents, his abilities, what he had, to help other people. And as Christians, that's what we need to do. To use whatever God has given me, whatever that is. And God has given every one of us something. Every one of us. To use that to help other people. We have a tendency to get upset and say, well, you know, I'm not as good as somebody else. Or I don't have the gifts that somebody else has. When I first went into the ministry, I picked out preachers that I thought were great preachers, and I try to be like them. And if you think I'm bad now, you ought to see me trying to be somebody else. God wants me to be the best Lee can be. God doesn't want me to be Billy Graham. That ain't what He called me to be. He called me to be me. He called you to be you. And while I can learn from other people, I don't need to copy other people. I need just to be what I should be. And you need to be what you should be. And you need to make a commitment that you're going to lose your life, including your giftedness. You're just going to give it to Him and say, Lord, use me wherever you can. If you can use me to reach a million people, then use me to reach a million people. If you can use me to reach one person, then use me to reach one person. Whatever you want for my life. Whatever you want. I challenge you to commit your giftedness. Commit your giftedness to the Lord. And let Him use you. Let Him use you.